Yes. Today's conference is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Please continue to hold. The conference will begin shortly.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, Glenn. And hello, everyone in the various time zones. It's Jonathan Robinson for the record, and this is the GNSO Council meeting of the 16th of May, 2013.
Bye. Thank you.
Welcome, everyone, to the call. We have an agenda in place, and so to kick things off, item one is our administrative matters, and we'll start off with a roll call, which I'm sure Glenn will take for us. Over to you, Glenn.
Thank you, Jonathan. I will do that. Jeff Newman?
Present.
Ching Chow?
Present.
Jonathan Robinson?
Present.
Mason Cole?
Present.
Yoav Kieran?
Present.
Volker Greiman?
I'm present.
Thank you.
Thomas Rickert? He's just
present.
Joined the call. Zai Jamil?
Present.
John Berard?
I'm here.
Brian Winterfeld? I don't think he's joined the call yet. Peter Rinsforth?
Present.
Osvaldo Nova?
Present.
Wolfo Lichnoben?
Present.
Maria Farrell?
Present.
Wendy Salsa is absent and has given her proxy to Joy Lidicoat. Dave Pitt is absent and has given his proxy to Wolfgang Kleinbechter. And Magali Pazello is absent and has given her proxy to Maria Farrell. All the proxies have come through in good order to the council list. Joy Lidicoat?
Present.
And we have Brian Winterfeld, who's just joined the call too. Wolfgang Kleinbechter?
I'm here.
Lanri Ajayi?
Present.
Jennifer Wolf?
Present.
Alan Greenberg?
Present.
Han-Chan Lui? I don't see on the call. And for staff, David Olive has sent his apologies. He cannot be on the call today. Marika Koenig, Judy Headland, Margie Milam, Barbara Roseman, Lars Hoffman, Alexander Kulik, Barry Cobb, Brian Pick, and we will be joined by our presenter, Nayela Saris. Have I missed any? Rob Hogarth, sorry, I've just seen you've joined, Rob.
Thank you. This is Steve Singh.
Ah, Steve, thank you very much. I think that's all. Thank you. Over to you, Jonathan.
Thank you, Glenn, and welcome to everyone, councillors, staff, to this call. First thing we should call for is under item 1.2, a statement of interest updates. We haven't seen anything to the list, but if I could hear for a moment, a pause to hear if there are any updates that anyone on the council would like to make. Hearing none, I'll move on to item 1.3, which is our opportunity to review or amend the agenda. Are there any comments or issues anyone wants to raise in respect of the agenda? Thank you. So we'll take the agenda as is. 1.4, we note the status of the minutes for the previous council meeting. That was our meeting in Beijing. And then we move on to review the projects list and action list. Actually, these are both really covered under item two, which I personally, and I hope other councillors will agree, has been very helpful having this action list as a shorthand checklist for things we agree to do It's been effective for me, certainly, as a management tool, and I hope it's useful for all of you. Like I said, we, you know, I'd encourage everyone to keep on top of this as much as possible. The projects list can be a little daunting. It's many, many pages, as I found out when I printed it out earlier this week, but it's much easier at least to just quickly review the actions list. So running over that, we've been relatively productive, I think. We've managed to settle on the language or working through it from the top down. We'll come on to the IDN issue, which is our proposed sending of a letter to the board, and I think we'll come under that on a more substantial topic. One of the areas we committed to do, I believe, in Beijing was to write to the expert working group on directory services, headed by Jean-François Baril, looking for confirmation that this was in no way working outside of the PDP process. So that is the one key item from Beijing that's still outstanding. But I intend to pick that up, and I'll sort that out in the next few days. Ulrich has got on with the Durban meeting planning, and you'll hear more about that in this meeting. We did talk about forming a group to look at, to start to anticipate what form the GNSO review might take place, how that might take place, and I think some of the key input we took there was from Bruce Tonkin's suggestion in that we take the initiative and think about some form of self-review, but there's some more work still to be done there. We've closed off the item on GNSO motions, which is about a deadline, and that's been completed and now posted for public comment. We've sent a letter out on the community working groups. We've written a letter on consumer metrics. We've communicated our intent out to other SOs and ACs, and a team of volunteers is starting to come together on the issue of policy versus implementation. The proxy and privacy work is likely to be delayed a little bit from our original deadline, and we staff are working, I know, in the background on a briefing paper on this on the back of the now agreed on the RAA, on the latest form of the RAA. And then the request for input on IDNs is really part of that more substantial topic will come to later in the meeting. So I think we've done reasonably well. Please keep an eye on that action list, and if it does impact you at all, or if you have any views on items we're working on, I'd appreciate your input. You would have seen that on the project list, Len circulated, and our collective apologies for that being only on the day today, but a red line and clean copy of an updated version of the project list. So let me pause a moment here and just hear if there are any comments or input on any of those items, either the current activity on the action list and or the project list. John Berard, I see your hand is up. John.
Thanks, Jonathan. I just wanted to let people know that the line of communication for revitalized CCNSO Council, GNSO Council meeting for Durban is open. I forwarded a note 2 days ago based upon the meeting, the most recent meeting of the CCNSO Council. My suggestion or request is that if you have suggestions for items that could be discussed at the meeting in Durban, if you would just forward them to Petter and to me. We're the two people who are working with Roloff and Mary on the CCNSO Council. So thank you.
Thanks, John. Appreciate your updates there. And can you just remind us who's on that group, because so that everyone's aware? I mean, I think it's two members of the CCNSO Council and two from the GNSO. Is that right?
That's correct. So it's Roloff's, tell you the truth, I forget his last name. Minor, maybe?
Maya.
And Mary Wong, who's the nominating committee appointee to the CCNSO. And it's Petter and I for the GNSO.
Right, and I know that's something we've grappled with to try and make as productive and as focused as possible. So doing the preparatory work, and I think hopefully what that will also produce is people, councillors willing to talk to or lead particular topics by the time we get round to Durban, and being well prepared for that should improve the productivity and feel of the meeting. So thanks, John. Any other comments or input on items that we've covered on the action items or projects list? All right, we'll close off that item two then with that covered off and move straight on into, there is nothing on the consent agenda this time, so really we move straight into item four, which is our first of three motions that we'll be considering today at today's meeting. And the first one is to address the final issue report on the uniformity of reporting, and the purpose of which is to form a working group, a non-PDP working group, to consider additional methods for collecting metrics. So I think we may as well proceed to the reading of the motion. Wolf Ulrich, if you could be so kind as the maker of the motion.
Yes, thank you very much, Jonathan. Well, as you explained, the motion is based on a report of the former group called Registration Abuse Policies Working Group, and if at least some of you can recall that this group came up with a series of items which have been worked on in the past already, and this is one item which is still ongoing. We had this discussion on council, I think, last year, because there was almost coming to an end, but it was revitalized as well, because it was seen as important with regards to facilitating the reporting. So I wonder whether I should read all the whereas as well. What do you think, Jonathan? Because that was, you know, just I summarized, you know, what was happening in the past. I can do so, no problem. But
you mean, is it necessary to go through all the whereas as clauses?
I don't think so.
No, I think I suspect you can. You can shortcut that.
Yes, okay. I will just read the very last whereas. That means the GNSO Council, because there was a last action. The GNSO Council has reviewed the final issue report of this Registration Abuse Policies Working Group and supports the staff recommendation to not initiate a policy development process at this stage, but to await the completion of the ICANN contractual compliance 3-year plan. Then resolved, the GNSO Council does not initiate a policy development process at this stage, but will review at the completion of the ICANN contractual compliance 3-year plan expected at 31st December 2013, whether additional action is required. And then I read the friendly amendment because I accepted it as a friendly amendment. Resolved, the GNSO Council further approves the creation of a drafting team to develop a charter for a non-PDP working group to consider additional methods for collecting necessary metrics and reporting from contracted parties and other external resources to aid the investigation. So that's the motion about, and as you said, it is about for helping to develop a drafting team for a charter.
Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. In order for the motion to pass, we need a simple majority of both, as you'll see from 4.3, both the contracted party's house and the non-contracted party's house. However, before putting the motion to the vote, I'd like to call for any discussion, if any councillors would like to make any remarks or comment or discuss any elements of this. Hearing none, I suggest we put it straight to the vote then. And Glenn, if I could ask you to poll the councillors for their votes, please.
Certainly, Jonathan. Yoav Kieran?
In favor.
Wolf Ulrich Knobin?
In favor.
Maria Farrell for Magali Pazulo?
In favor.
Jonathan Robinson?
Yes, in favor.
Brian Winterfeld?
Yes.
Mason Cole?
Yes.
Joy Lidicott for Wendy Seltzer?
Yes.
Wolfgang Kleinwächter?
Yes.
David Cake? Wolfgang Kleinwächter for David Cake, please?
Yes.
Zoe Jamil?
Yes.
Thomas Ricketts?
Yes.
King Chao?
Yes, in favor.
Lanry Ajayi?
Approval.
Jeff Newman?
Absolutely.
Porter Griman?
Not sorry, I mean, no doubt about it, I'm for it.
Pardon?
Yes.
Maria Farrell?
I'm in favor.
Peter Rindfoss?
Yes.
Joy Lidicott?
Yes.
Justin Burrard?
Yes.
The motion passes. Sorry. Oswald Nova.
Yes.
Have I called everyone? Yes, the motion passes unanimously, Jonathan.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, everyone. I know some of you feel it's a little tedious to go through it, but it at least guarantees that we make sure we hear everyone vote rather than a voice vote, which I think can be a little confusing on the telephone. It's slightly easier in person. Item 5 is the next motion of 3, so 2 out of 3. Again, proposed by Wolf Ulrich Knobin to adopt the revised PDP manual incorporating the modifications to include the suspension of a PDP, which was something that was put through the Standing Committee on Improvements and has been through the appropriate process. So I think it would be, I believe we have a second. Zahid, if you could just confirm that you are seconding the motion before we proceed to read the motion.
Confirmed.
Thank you, Zahid. Wolf Ulrich, if you could proceed to propose the motion, and then we'll take it to a discussion and vote.
Yes. So in this case, thank you, Thomas. I'll read the answers because it shows what it was in the past, and maybe not all of us are aware of that. But it is related, the motion is related to the PDP manual, as it said. There is one, let me say, one slight part of this PDP, which is related to so-called suspension. We had already in the PDP to terminate a PDP, termination of a PDP, but the case of suspension was not covered in that manual, and that is related to this. So whereas having encountered the need to suspend a policy development process for a limited amount of time, the genus of counsel realized that currently the PDP manual does not contain a specific provision on how to deal with such a situation. The GSO Council requested the Standing Committee on Improvements Implementation to review whether there should be a modification to the GSO PDP manual to address the possible suspension of a PDP following its initiation. The SCI deliberated on provisions for suspension of a PDP and reached consensus on proposed modifications to be incorporated in Section 15 of the GSO PDP manual, which also is included as Annex 2 in the GSO Council operating procedures. The revised PDP manual, including the proposed provisions for suspension of a PDP, was put out for a minimum 21-day public comment period on the 6th March 2013, ending on 6th April, as required by the ICANN bylaws. And as a result of the public comment period, no further changes were deemed necessary by the SCI. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the GSO Council adopts the revised PDP manual, including the providing for the suspension of a PDP. See, and link is provided. The GSO Council instructs ICANN staff to post a new version of the PDP manual and to include it as a revised Annex 2 in the GSO operating procedures effective immediately upon adoption. So that's the motion.
Thank you very much, Wolf Ulrich. I suspect this is a relatively uncontroversial topic, but nevertheless would like to offer any discussion or comment on the motion. Does anyone have any comment or discussion they would like to make on this motion? Hearing none, I will then ask if anyone is opposed to the motion. So I'm asking if we can potentially deal with this via a voice vote. Can I just hear if anyone of the councillors is opposed to the motion as it is formed and proposed? Hearing none, can I ask if anyone would like to abstain from the motion? Hearing none, I will ask for everyone to give a. I'll take it that the motion is therefore supported unanimously. And Glenn, if you could record that, please.
I'll do that, Jonathan. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone. Item 6 is the third of the motions we'll consider this evening, or evening in my time, and that is the initiation of a PDP on the translation and transliteration of contact information. We have the final issue report, which the council has seen, and on the back of the recommendations that we should initiate a PDP. There was some discussion about whether we hold off for the output of the expert working group, but as I understand it, we now intend to not let that delay our work at all, and we propose to go ahead. And the motion is proposed by Ching and seconded by Zahid. So, Ching, if you could make any comment you would like on this prior to reading the motion, please go ahead.
Jonathan, thanks. Actually, you covered most of the main points I'd like to raise, so I'll pass. Thanks again for bringing that up.
All right, Ching, if you could then proceed to simply read the motion for us, and then we'll move to discuss and vote on it.
Sure. So, Jonathan, would you like me to read the whereas clause or simply read the resolved clause?
I think the motion is published on in all of the appropriate forums. It's available in front of the councillors on the Adobe Connect. So I think, Ching, it's expeditious to simply go to the resolve clause.
All right, sure. Thanks. So results, the GNSO initiates a PDP on the issues defined in the final issue report link on the translation and transliteration of contact information. And a working group will be created for the purpose of fulfilling the requirements of the PDP. The GNSO requests staff to commission a study on the commercial feasibility of translation or transliteration systems for internationalized contact data, which is expected to help inform the PDP working group in its deliberations.
Thanks, Ching. And I know when we have discussed this in the past, the view is that this is a relevant and important topic, almost regardless of the forms or format of contact data in the future. So this work, we anticipate and expect, should survive changes or any prospective or potential changes to the format of contact data in the future. So I see, Petter, you would like to make a point. Please go ahead and do so as part of the discussion on this motion.
Well, thanks. I remember from being, it was ultimately recommended that the GNSO Council should delay a formal PDP on this issue until after the deliberations of the expert working group. And this instant motion appears to disregard that recommendation and launch the PDP prior to the conclusion of the expert group. I would say that to launch the PDP now will waste the time and energy of volunteers and undermine that what the board seems to be trying to achieve in pegging in Hoey's reform efforts through the output of the expert working group. So I'm not prepared to take the decision today. I request deferral.
Thanks, Petter. Is anyone? I see I put both Joy and Julie's hand up. Is anyone wanting to respond directly to Petter's point? I'm tempted to defer to Julie in case you have an explanation or any input on that before taking up the queue with Joy and Lunray. So, Julie, if you could give any input or information on this in anticipating that this might inform the discussion.
Yes, thank you, Jonathan. This is Julie Hedlund, and I can address the question from Petter. And in fact, this question also was raised in Beijing. While staff were in Beijing, staff did have discussions with members of the expert working group and also with Steve Crocker on the board, who is also working with the expert working group. And what they indicated was that they anticipated that their work was going to take quite a bit longer than staff had anticipated at the time staff wrote the final issue report. And in fact, the expert working group has indicated that they would find it extremely helpful to have the results of the work of this PDP available to them as they deliberate. So actually the opposite of what staff had originally anticipated back when the final issue report was written. So that is why in Beijing staff suggested that the council could consider initiating the PDP without a delay, and that was why staff worked with Ching to revise the motion to indicate that the PDP would be initiated without delay, because staff anticipated that the information coming out of this PDP would indeed be quite helpful to the expert working group.
Right, so thank you very much for that additional input, Julie. We obviously have Petter's request for a deferral, which in any event should not curb the discussion, and so I'd like to proceed with the discussion and then ultimately refer back to Petter to see if that has influenced his request, but let's first of all proceed with Joy, Lunray, and Ching in that order. So over to you, Joy.
Thank you, Jonathan, and thank you, Ching, for your introduction. We have discussed this motion in the NCSG Policy Committee, and we likewise were of the view that the motion should be not brought forward until the expert working group work has been done. To be honest, it troubles me to think that the expert working group thinks that their job will take longer. It troubles me in the sense that if there are issues that they are concerned will need more time and take it may be more complex, then I would be cautious about a policy development process which didn't have the benefit of their input and their expertise. So, I'm inclined to support. We weren't proposing a deferral. We weren't anticipating there would be a deferral. We were rather thinking that the PDP itself should just simply be delayed until after the expert working group has completed its work. I'm not clear from what you said, Julie, whether they have a time frame in mind for their work or not. If you could clarify that, that would be helpful.
Thanks, Joy. I think Julie's responding immediately to that, so Ching, if you'll forgive me bypassing you for a moment while we just hear Julie's response on Joy's direct question.
Hello, Joy. Yes, this is Julie Headland, and the expert working group, I think, had, and I cannot speak for them, but I know that the information that they have on their webpage indicated, and based on the board's direction, that they would come out perhaps with some recommendations in May. And I should clarify, though, that when I spoke of the expert working group taking longer, what I was referring to was not so much that the expert working group, and I think I misspoke here, was saying that they needed more time, but that when staff originally drafted this final issue report, the staff was anticipating that that the expert working group would be complete with its work prior to the formation of a PDP on this issue. Given the timing of this particular motion and the fact that it was first going to be considered in Beijing and then was deferred to this meeting, now this work, what I want to say is that the expert working group is doing its work, but based on discussions in Beijing, it looked as though it would be quite useful if both of these groups worked in parallel and could share information. Perhaps that's a little bit more clarifying.
Thanks, Julie. Let's hear from you, Ching. I've got Lunray ahead of you. I'm sorry, Lunray.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan. The outcome of this PDP is the study. And I believe this study will be very useful for the SR working group. Not only for the SR working group, even for the PDP that is going to examine the output of the work of the SR working group. So I believe that this study is quite important, and I believe we should support the motion so that we can have the staff get this study to be done, because it's going to be useful for the SR working group, and it's going to be useful for the PDP process that follows the work of the SR working group.
Lunray, the audio was pretty poor there. I'm not sure of how it came across for others, but I will try and summarize what I think I heard you say, and I'd appreciate you confirming that. I know you are a member on the expert working group. I believe that my recollection is correct there. And what I think I heard you saying was you feel that the motion should be supported because the work is relevant in any event and will work in parallel with the expert working group. I hope I'm sort of summarizing that accurately, but I really did struggle to hear.
Yeah, that's correct, Jonathan. In addition to that, I expect that even after the expert working group completes the assignment, they're still going to the work is still going to be subjected to PDP process. This study is still going to be relevant whenever that another working group is working on the outcome of the ESPA working group job. I don't know if that is clear.
That's a second point, Lanre, and that is that was the issue. In fact, I think that's really the substance of the letter we were planning to send to the expert working group, is confirming that this in no way was work being undertaken intended to bypass or work outside of ultimately the PDP process.
That's correct.
Okay, Ching has been patient, and I see Margie's hand has come up, so I think we'll go to Ching, then to Margie, and then to Petter.
Thanks, Jonathan. I think thanks to Julie, who's actually covered most of the points. I just like to raise two things here. First of all is the discussion of whether we should continue to move on the path of the PDP for this recommendation from the final issue, the IRT final issue report. This path we have already discussed in Beijing, or even if I recall correctly, prior to Beijing, in the council call, we have sort of gone through whether we should wait for the outcome of the expert working group. So I personally raised the same concern two meetings ago, and then in Beijing, we still haven't heard the expert working group, their timeline and their process. But after the discussion with the staff and understanding the staff and the working group, their needs and the requirement of this working group being set up, the PDP to be moved forward in order to help them to complete their job, I think this is kind of still for at the council level. They need us to kind of to initiate this PDP and the working group to help this work done. And this also leads to my second point, is that I think the overall IDN program, the IDN GTOD delegation is on the way. I know there's still several quote unquote missing pieces. There are several items on what I call the last mile of the IDN GTOD delegation, still not there yet, but one main item is definitely this, the outcome of this working group will definitely impact on the appropriate rollout. Let me put it this way: rollout of the IDN GTOD. So I would encourage others, especially Petra and Joy, your reconsideration of still help this motion to be put forward, so the staff and the team can continue to work on the necessary requirement or the data collection for the expert working group. Thanks.
Thanks, Ching. And just to be very clear, what we've heard so far, we've heard the discussions about whether or not this work should go ahead in parallel with, and whether in any way it contradicts or shouldn't go ahead alongside the work of the working group. But the key point from Joy was, I think I heard an indication that her intention coming into the meeting was to vote against the motion, obviously prior to hearing this discussion, and that was what her prior discussion had covered, and that Petter was proposing to defer. So currently, that is the likely outcome, but I think we should continue the discussion for the meantime and just hear from anyone else who has their hands up, which I've currently got Margie, Petra, and then Jeff. Over to you, Margie.
Thank you. A couple points I wanted to raise, that this issue of translation and transliteration is also directly associated with the WHOIS review team recommendations that was that were adopted by the board. And so as staff is in this parallel track of doing the implementation on the WHOIS review team recommendations and then separately the supporting the expert working group analysis of what may be the future generation of data directory services, the work of this PDP would be very helpful for staff because it part of what we need to do in implementing the WHOIS review team recommendations based on the current policy is to deal with the IDN issues. So I just want to echo everything that Ching had said and just raise that for council's awareness. And then with the respect to the expert working group output, they're looking at issues at a very high level, and really the detail involved and level of expertise for IDN issues is something that I don't anticipate them getting to very early in their process. Even the timelines that Julie had mentioned as of May, those have been extended. We have meetings set up for next week. We're hoping to have something to discuss in Beijing, but it's certainly not Durban. It's certainly not going to be anything related to IDNs because that's just they're just not there in their deliberations. So just to echo everything that was said by Julie and by Ching, having input from the community of, you know, the GNSO and the experts that know about this would be very helpful.
Thanks, Margie. Petra, I have you next, and then Jeff.
Well, thank you, Alice. Input. I just shortly wanted to say that we have an expert working group, and I'm convinced that they know that they can't work slowly and that we have a certain time limit. So I just wanted to say that I have not been convinced by your other comments, and I still request a deferral.
Thanks, Petra. Over to you, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. I'm not going to comment. Every constituency has a right to a deferral, so I'm not going to comment on that. But I'm a little surprised here, and I think we're kind of what's the word for it? I'm just a little baffled by discussion because for the last several meetings, a number of us have been saying we're tired of things being done top down. We're tired of ICANN staff, you know, coming up with policies, and we should only be working on implementation. And yet now I'm hearing that a number of us are okay with the concept of leaving things to an expert working group to determine. That to me seems kind of the antithesis of what we've been arguing for a number of months. So from my standpoint, you know, we never commissioned this expert working group. It's not an expert working group for the GNSO. It was commissioned by the ICANN CEO, and that's great. They can do that. But I don't think we should be deferring to any kind of non-policy-making body to determine our policy. It goes against the whole bottom-up model. And judging from the comments that were received to the GAC advice and others, you know, although unrelated, is related in a sense of the GNSO is a policy-making organization. So the whole concept to me of deferring to an expert working group is just kind of crazy. The second point I want to make is this is an expert working group, but they're not really experts in IDNs. In fact, I don't know anyone on the expert working group that has expertise in IDN issues, and it kind of tagged along with what Ching and even Margie was saying about they're going to look to us, the people that have expertise in this area, to help provide them the data. And so relying on this expert working group, again, is just crazy. It goes against what we've been arguing. Again, I'm not going to argue against the deferral because we routinely grant the deferrals, but I strongly suggest that everyone go back to their groups, discuss this issue, and really reaffirm the GNSO's role in policy development. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I must say I'm trying to think about my perspective on this as both a chair and as sort of individually as a counselor. I think at a personal level, I mean, looking at this, it seems to be the substance of the motion and the intended work coming out of it appears to me to be fairly universally useful. This is about transliteration and translation, transliteration of contact information. So my perspective is it seems to be a useful piece of work and a helpful piece of work. If I take that personal perspective and then apply that as chair of the council, I'm concerned that the council should be doing useful and effective work. And so for that reason, I'm attracted to doing it. None of this speaks, as you rightly pointed out, to a willingness or not to grant a deferral. If a deferral is required to have further discussions in the groups on this, then so be it. But that's my personal perspective. I see we've got Joy and Thomas wanting to come up with some additional points. So let's hear from Joy and then Thomas.
Thanks, Jonathan. And I just want to clarify that I didn't actually say when I spoke earlier that we were intending to vote against it. I said that what we were proposing to do is to ask questions about whether it should be delayed. And Jeff, just to pick up on your points, the concern, I think, in the NCSG policy discussion wasn't about policy-making roles or the fundamental philosophical points about deferring to expert working groups. It's just really purely a calibration issue. Given staff resources and priorities, whether or not we might be heading for a track where we begin a PDB process and then we end up some way down the track with calibration issues. If the expert working group has meta recommendations about things, and so on and so forth. So it was really more of that flavour and tenor. And as I say, I'm not either speaking to the deferral request, and I'm pleased to hear the responses from Ching and from others. And we're certainly happy to keep thinking about it, and that's why we wanted to have a discussion about the rationale for doing this outside the expert working group. Thanks.
Thanks, Joy, and thanks to the others for the quality of the discussion on this. It is useful, and it's the kind of thing we should be doing, is talking through it properly. So let's hear from you, Thomas.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. And I just wanted to make a quick point that in addition to what Jeff said on top-down versus community work, and I've written a comment to that in the chat in the Adobe Connect, I wanted to say that at times we've been criticized for taking too much time to do community work, to do PDP work. And I just want to point your attention to the PDP principles or the PDP manual, which would allow us for the suspension and the termination of a PDP should we find out during its work that it's irrelevant. And I guess that these tweaks to the procedural documents have been made in order to avoid the council and the GNSO community as such spending time and efforts on work, the outcome of which might be redundant or outdated. So we do have the technical tools to put things on hold or even to stop the work. However, in this particular case, what we see is that it can't be expected that the work is redundant because the expert working group itself has given us reassurance that they are eagerly waiting for the PDP working group to start its work and provide input. So I fail to understand why we should hold up the train, and certainly it is perfectly in each and every councillor's discretion to ask for a deferral, but I would like to understand why a deferral is linked to understanding or to being convinced that work is valuable or not in a case where the value of the work has even been confirmed by a concerned party. Thank you.
I've got Jeff in the queue next after Thomas, and thanks for those points, Thomas. I should just say that a deferral is something which is customarily granted, and it is in ultimately in the discretion of the chair, but it is generally on the understanding that a requirement for further discussion is required. So that's the sort of principles on which we would normally customarily supported or undertake a deferral of a motion. Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. And I think just kind of to agree with that and just ask that those that were inclined at this meeting to vote against it, and Joy, I heard what you said about resources, I would just ask that you, if you could go back to the group, explain to them what Margie has said and others about the expert working group actually trying to rely on us for that work because they don't have the expertise. That may change the mind of the people within the NCSG in starting this. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff. I think we can wrap this up now. I mean, my perspective is that we've heard some good, and as a chair, my perspective is that we've heard some good and useful discussion in and around both the content of the motion and its relative position to that of the work of the expert working group. Personally, my thought is both at a personal level that I would like us to get on with this as quickly as possible. As a chair, I'm mindful of our reputation as a council to continue to do work and to get things done. But nevertheless, I'm also mindful of our principle of accepting a request for a deferral in order to make sure that our groups, and that is mindful of the bottom-up process, have the opportunity to thoroughly and properly discuss these things. So prior to accepting that, I'll just ask for a final confirmation with everything that you've heard, Petter, that you would still like to request a deferral, and if so, we should do that and bring this motion back to the council for the next time. So, Petter, if you could just confirm that request still stands.
I confirm.
Thank you, Petter. So we will defer this motion until our next meeting, and thank you all again for a useful and thorough discussion on the substance and content of the motion. Joy, I see your hand is up still, so just to make sure we don't close you out, if there was something you still wanted to say.
Yes, I just had a point of order. I believe there was a request from Thomas for a further explanation from Peter in light of the discussion we've had about the rationale for deferral. In particular, there was a response from staff that the expert, and I believe Jeff also made the point, that the expert working group won't actually be touching on some of the specific issues in the proposed PDP scope. And so I think it would be helpful before we move on to understand whether or not what the request for deferral relates to in light of the discussion. And then I think you should consider whether or not to exercise your discretion to accept it. So I think if Peter could reply,
Thanks,
I think that would help.
That's a fair point. As I said, that typically, although not absolutely universally, the principle of the deferral is to provide for the groups to have more discussion on something like this. So, Petra, it would be helpful then to respond to Joy's request if you could please, as to the sort of motivation for the request for the deferral, and actually I guess it would be useful to know in that context if that's yourself or in your position as a representative of the IPC, yourself as a councillor or representative of the IPC. So, Petty, if you could give us some indication of the motivation, that would be helpful.
Well, first of all, it's both my personal view and for the RPC. But talking about the importance of making decisions as fast as possible, I certainly does not disagree with that. But that doesn't mean that you should make pre-decisions when we in fact have a working group that deals with this. So from my personal point of view, and I mean, this is not a no, it's a deferral. So giving both these groups and others more time to work with this and came up with some good suggestions.
All right, Petra. Well, I think if you could be mindful of the discussion that's taken place and recognize that there has been some strong motivations for why this work should continue in parallel, and if you could take that back to the IPC and to discuss that with them and be mindful of that when you come back, I think we should respect the requirement to discuss this further and accept the deferral, but like you say, mindful of the arguments that have been presented here as to why this work is both necessary and separate to that of the expert working group. Brian.
Yeah.
Brian. Hi, this is Brian Winterfeld for the IPC. I just wanted to, Jonathan, just confirm that that's exactly why we're making the deferral, is to give us an opportunity to go back to the IPC and explain to them the conversation and information that we gathered from staff and other members of the council on the call today. And we look forward to coming prepared to discuss and vote on the motion next month.
Thank you, Brian. I think we'll also look forward to that then. Appreciate you coming in with that point. All right, so I think we will, as is customary, defer the motion based on the request from PETA and the IPC and move on to the next item. So item 7 is in some ways connected via the issue of IDNs and is an opportunity to hear more on the report on the implications of active variant TLDs, and we're going to have some input from Nayala as the starting point on the report. So Nayala, I believe you are online and available to provide this input as part of this topic. So welcome, and over to you.
Thank you. This is Nayala Saras with staff. Thank you for giving us time on your call here to speak about the report. So this is here a very short brief introduction to what this report is about, specifically about the user experience, focused on the user experience implications when activating IDN variants. I should mention that this report or this study is part of a longer program that's currently taking place at ICANN called the IDN Variant Issues Program. And this program is its third year of operation right now. It's operated several projects that are trying to understand the issues with identifying and delegating variants. This one is focused on the user experience, and it was completed in March 2013. Marika, it doesn't seem to let me go to the next. I got it. Sorry. Okay. So the scope of the study here is focused, as I said, on the small section of IDN labels that have variants in them. So this is not it touches on IDNs in general, but specifically we're talking about what happens when we activate variants. It does take into consideration variants at the second level, even though it's focused on the top level. It does talk about implications at the second level and beyond, and then it's really mainly focused on user expectations. And it tries, we'll go into that in a second, it tries to balance between security and stability versus user expectations. Some of the inputs that were taken into account as this study was developed is the existing variant experiences at the second level that exists today. I believe for this data, a number of ccTLDs that are currently offering IDNs, as you know, the ccTLDs have already been delegated IDNs. So a number of ccTLDs were contacted, and they provided information about their experience in how they're managing IDNs at the second level. So I won't go into details here because we do want to get to the point for the discussion, but it does talk about several aspects of managing the IDNs and then how they're how it's handled. You will see that it's not consistent. There's variation from one TLD to another on how IDNs are handled. In order to focus to balance between user expectations and security and stability, there were seven guiding principles that were accepted as basically guiding principles going into the study. I'll just touch on them here very briefly. First one we call minimality. Minimality here is talking about making the least amount of changes to the DNS with the introduction or with the delegation of variants. Security is we must minimize any risks introduced to the DNS by adding variants. Equivalency, it talks about reducing basically confusion to the user and directing users to related content managed by the same entity when variants are delegated. Predictability talks to that variants should behave and function as users expect them to. Consistency between is another guiding principle here. Consistency between the variants themselves and across TLDs that are supporting variants. Manageability. That the variants should be straightforward to visualize and administer with supporting technology. And then one last principle is the ease of use, is that they should be easy to understand, manage for existing and new users. So from these principles, these basically were the guiding principles going into the study. The user roles that were considered coming into the study were the end users themselves, those who are actually using the variants once delegated. The registration users / managers, those that are managing the use. So this includes the registrants, registrars, registries. And then the technical community, those that are dealing with the actual the back end, the configuring, the using of the variants. So these users will again be impacted later when we talk about the recommendations coming out of this study. So the issues that were discussed here were the use of variants, the registration management, and the configuration. So it's really focused on these specific categories that it wanted to talk about. And I'll go ahead and go into that. Based on that, there were several recommendations that were developed. And the reason why we're bringing this to your attention is that these recommendations touch on more than just a report to ICANN for recommendations to implement to improve the user experience when using variants. The recommendations for ICANN, for the registries, for the registrars, and the technical community. In the interest of time, we won't go through all the recommendations. I'll touch on just highlights about some of these recommendations. But one thing to remember here, and when you look at the report, I provided the link at the beginning, that these recommendations use language such as must, should, and may. And so some of them are worded pretty strongly that if they were to be picked up or if they were to be implemented under the must category, they have some impacts on ICANN registries and registrars, and that's why we're seeking further input on them. So So to give you a highlight about what some of these recommendations are, one of them is a recommendation to ICANN to implement a well-defined and conservative variant CLD allocation process. So here is to define the process for how variants are allocated, that it's not automatic that a variant CLD associated with a primary string that comes it's not automatic that it's approved, that there should be a clear demonstration of why this variant is needed, that variants should always be delegated to the same entity to minimize confusion, and then any requirements that apply to the main or the primary CLD should also apply to the variant CLD. Another recommendation also to ICANN is to maintain the LGR repository. Now, the LGR here is the label generation rule set. As part of the bigger variant program that we're studying here is creating a master table, if you will, that defines what code points are allowed in the root zone. So one of the problems we are having today, why variants aren't being considered in the current applications from IDNs that are coming in, is that there is no authoritative way to decide what's a variant and what's not. So another part of the program, of the variant program, is developing tools of how to create that master IDN table, if you will, that will define what's a variant and what's not. So the recommendation is for ICANN to maintain this label generation rules repository and to make it available to users programmatically processable, meaning there should be tools to be able to import that data and use it. So that's another recommendation. A third recommendation also to ICANN is to develop simple, minimal, and consistent IDN LGR for the root zone. Again, this is the master table of IDN, master IDN table that will be used at the root. So this table would function would serve two functions. One is what characters are allowed in the root, and then any of those characters that have corresponding variants should also be listed in that IDN LGR for the root. So this would be the master IDN table that's used for the root zone as a registry. Other recommendations are recommend registries to apply relevant subset of IDN, CLD, LGR, and state lifecycle for variants, justify any deviation. So this is where we start touching on some of the requirements that are coming to more than just for ICANN to implement. So a second level, again, label generation rules, or a second level IDN table that confirms with the root table. And if there's any deviation between those two, it should be defined and justified. Pardon me here. Let me go to the next one. Here is a sample of recommendations that are for the registries. To register any second-level variant labels on approval requirements. Here, I won't go into the details of this, but this is where we need the input. So registration of variants is not automatic, initiated by the registrant. Variants withheld by default. The variant is registered to the same registrant, and any requirements that are imposed on the TLD, the primary TLD, also apply on the variant as well.
Hold the line, and we'll be right back with you.
Uh-oh. Are we still on the phone? Did we drop off?
Yes, Ayla, we can hear you okay. I think that you're free to go, but just to encourage you to try and bring it to key questions that you want help with from the council on in terms of where we go and next steps, but we can hear you okay.
Okay. So why don't I step quickly through the rest of them. I'm towards the end here. The last set of group of recommendations are to the technical community, and here again it's about developing the tools that allow easier and user-friendly implementation of the variant TLDs. And again, this is speaking about the tools, web browsers, email clients, etc. This is what we're coming here with, and this is the development since our meeting in Beijing. The board passed a resolution in Beijing asking that the interested supporting organizations and advisory committees to provide input and guidance about the implementation of these recommendations. And this input is requested by the first of by July 1st, 2013, in about a month and a half. And we sent a letter to all the supporting organizations and advisory committees, and specifically here we're asking for specific input about for each of these recommendations. When you look through the report, there's a number of recommendations. Which of these recommendations are prerequisites for us to implement before IDN variant TLDs can be delegated? So we cannot proceed with IDN TLD delegations until those recommendations are implemented. Which of these recommendations, if any, can be deferred until a later time, so we don't have to take them up right now. We can continue our work on the IDN TLD delegation work and defer the recommendations until a different time, a later time. And which of these require further policy work? I think I said in one of the recommendations, for example, I'm just giving this one as an example, it requires the master IDN table that we're developing for the root to be used at second levels. So if that's a requirement that must impose on the registries, then is this considered policy work that we need to defer until later, or is this something that I can go ahead and implement? And this is really where we need the most input from you at this point on these three questions. And this is our suggestion for what input we need. You're welcome, of course, to give us any other input that you need to give us at this point. And this is where I'd like to start the discussion. I don't have any further slides.
Thank you, Nala. So I think we should keep that slide up. And thank you for your presentation, for bringing it to a head as requested. I think this is I've had a look at the report personally beforehand. This is a complex and it's a 68-page thorough report on this work, and I think it's a challenge for some of us. So let me hand over to Ching to see if he can give us some thoughts and guidance, in particular on where we take this next. I know we have an outstanding item on sending a letter to the board to highlight the issue and more generally, but also specifically in response to this question for recommendations by 1st of July. Ching.
Thank you, Jonathan, and thank you, Nyla, for the updates. I see some of your updates are actually providing some progress. After the Beijing meeting, I have the chance just to chat with other staff members, such as Steve Shen, about the board requests on the future guidance on. So this is your last slide on the input and guidance on the recommendations. I have one comment and one question, in fact. So let me start with my comments and also a kind of a trying to help my fellow counselors to trying to capture what is being updated this time in our meeting. We have seen a user experience report to address how a TLD registry to deal with potentially IDN variant issues. So this report is actually coming from part of your work, a kind of an overall IDN VIP working group. So this is part of the work. We have seen in general six different languages or community. They have put together a kind of an integrated report saying that ICANN, as indicated in your slides, should maintain a label generation rule, saying AOGR. But still, we have six different languages to maintain. So basically, what this overall concept to the council and to the overall community is that, even though ICANN is trying to establish one rule, one LGR rule, but still there are six different languages there. So there are still six different user needs to be fulfilled and to be implemented. So I just want to and wish to highlight that point, is that in your report you say you in your first two or three slides you indicated that the variant experience for the Chinese communities are actually different than the variant experience in the Arabic community. So I wish to highlight that. So that's my comment. And my question actually is towards to this input and the guidance on the recommendations, that the question is about, we have and actually the board of ICANN actually commissioned this VIP team to produce sort of a way and implementation methods for the IDN GTO, the variant delegation. This is kind of a long process, has been initiated since last year. In the Beijing meeting, we have repeatedly questioned about how we can actually accelerate the process, because it seems that we are dealing with a more pressing timeline for the IDN GTO, the process. And based on your slides, it seems that we are witnessing different user experience, or at least an interim, at least in the interim, there would be different user experiences created for IDN CCTLD and to the IDN GTLD. So I was actually having this question: is the board still considering to change the timeline, and is this input and guidance that the board or the VIP team getting will help the VIP team to change the timeline, actually to accelerate the whole process? So that's my question. So let me stop here so others can weigh in. Thank you.
I've got Yoav waiting to talk, but Naila, did you want to respond to Ching's question first?
Yes, if I may. So on the comment, just to clarify, Ching is absolutely right. The variant program commissioned six different community groups to do reports on variants in their script. So these are definitely went into the what he referred to as the integrated issues report, which outlined all the issues that were common to these six different groups and then which ones were unique. One clarification on the comment, Ching, is that in this solution or in this further steps that we are taking, it's not just to address what was brought up in the six different script reports. It's even further, more complex than that, right, because we still have to consider everyone in the world that is eventually may request a variant. So just to put that on line there. And then for the question about, there are several projects that are going on at the same time with variants. So this one here is asking, this one is about the user experience and is asking what to do with these recommendations, which of them to consider for immediate implementation. At the same time, we're not just doing this work, we're also a second part of the board resolution in Beijing was to go ahead and start implementing the LGR, the label generation rules process. So at the same time, we're also starting the implementation of that process that will create the master repertoire for the route. And that's what's going to give us the tools to be able to evaluate the variants. Without that, we have no authoritative or no deterministic way to evaluate those IDN variants. So what I wanted to just say there is that we are not, just because this request for input is out there and it says please give us your input by 1st of July doesn't mean we're just sitting and waiting until 1st of July. Just wanted to put that out there.
Thanks, Naila. Yoav, did you want to come in now?
Yes. What I want to say is mainly stressed. My feeling is that most of the work that was done till now was related to the TLD level. And my feeling is that user confusion is much higher at the second level. You had that slide covering second level and you went quickly over it. I wasn't able to get a full understanding of what is the recommendation, but as much as I know, there are different issues that are still not fully resolved and did not get, the different stakeholders' opinion on the issues, including the issue that we raised in Beijing regarding TMCH, and we were in contact with Fadi and other in the team to have some kind of further discussion on that. And also other issues that are relevant. So I will just say in general that while a variant of GTLD cannot be delegated without a real process performed by IANA and ICANN in that respect, that's not the same thing on the second level. And if we don't have a very concrete policy on how this will be taken care of, in the second level, there's going to be a huge confusion among users. So I just want to, I think we need to do as much as possible to expedite work on that and maybe even stress this in our letter to the board. Thanks.
Right. Ching, I see you've come back with a response or further comments, so let's hear from you again, and then I think we've got to think about start to move this discussion on towards the next steps and where we're going to take this.
Sure. Thanks, Jonathan. Yes, actually, two follow-up points here. First of all, I think for this particular subject, since we are learning experiences from IDN CCTODs and from the CCTOD community in general. So my suggestion is that for future GNSO and CCNSO interaction, I would assume that this is certainly a high priority topic to be placed to be utilized as a one important discussion, one discussion topic. My second point still, I will wish to go back to sorry, just let me stop here so we will have time to work on the next item, which is the IDN letter, which is my second question will be more actually relevant to that that letter. So let me stop here.
Okay, so Ching, thanks. You've suggested that this is something which is a critical and relevant topic for our discussions with the CCNSO. So that's easy to feed that into the group that's dealing with that. In terms of the two issues under this broader item seven here, I mean, I think we've really got. We may as well move on to your letter to the board. I'm not sure. I mean, we have the request from Naila and the group working on this to think carefully about which recommendations are prerequisites, which can be deferred, and so on. This is complex, and I sense that I certainly could speak for myself. I've challenged to get my head around all of the issues here, and I sense that other councillors may may battle. I'm just wondering where we take this in terms of next steps between now and the desired input on the 1st of July, but it is something we're going to have to seek the help of the interested and knowledgeable councillors on. I suggest we move on to this item 7.4 and take your update as to where we are on this letter with the board, because we agreed in Beijing that this was something which we wanted to highlight, and there's probably quite a few areas in and around. I mean, you have touched on some concerns in it which were raised in Beijing in and around the trademark clearinghouse as well, and how that is going. So let's hear from you where you think we're at on that letter to the board, and then take it from there, Ching.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks for putting this one on the agenda. So, as you may recall, in the council wrap-up session in Beijing, we did have, and also in the working session in over the weekend, we spent a tremendous amount of time talking about the IDN issues. I know many of us still need time to digest and also to understand a relatively complicated, technical-oriented topic like this. However, for both commercial and for non-commercial, interest. And at the council level, we have addressed this item, the IDN GTOD or the IDN variant GTOD implementation or delegation issue is something that the council should look into as part of the council really also have the responsibility to help or to monitor the policy implementation process. So taking from this angle, at the council level, I try to capture some of the high level items. First of all, is definitely the staff is going to implement in terms of the overall new GTOD operational transparency. This actually includes both the variant GTOD delegation process and also how the TMCH can handle IDN variant. So we are actually suggesting the staff, whether the staff can provide, for example, regular updates like this, or even a looking glass. So for the council and for the community in general, can understand timely about the GTOD delegation process. So that's the first item. There could be some fine tune on the wording of the letter, but in principle we're actually requesting looking for this type of looking glass to ensure that we understand the process. So that's the first one. So the second one we have talked about in the previous item is that we understand the IDN CCTOD they have the capacity or the capability of of the variant, so the user can type in whether it's in the original form or the variant form. If the CCTOD operators does have the variant dedicated. So, but for GTOD, if based on the IDN VIP working group timeline, we would have a open window which the IDN GTOD will have a kind of a incomplete product for the IDN registrant, which from the delegation, if this year from the delegation, they would not be able to set up or to use IDM variant. So whether we should provide or offer a practical advisory to assist the registrants. So this is coming from a registrant protection and security point of view. We, as a council, to request some advisory timely to address this issue. And third, of course, is a kind of a relatively longer term issue, is that we should be ready to provide some guidance. And actually, since we are in the process of developing this IDM variant mechanism for the GTLD, so which means that eventually the AGB needs to be updated just to make sure that the content is updated for the future run of the application. So we urge the staff to start to look into what are the areas in the AGB should be updated. So those are the three main points at the council level which we would like to send those points to the board. So my final point is that although the council still keep an eye on this particular issues, the board has commissioned this IDM VIP working group, which some of the members are actually paid consultants. So the community, if I can use this term, actually have the expectation that the experts and the working group come up with a solution for the board to consider and for the community to use. So I would really hope that the team, actually the working group, does not shift too much of their responsibility to the volunteers. I would rather see them to propose and also timely propose appropriate solution to resolve these questions to those items. Rather than, as I mentioned, shift responsibility to the community. Community volunteers. So
that's helpful, and that's good guidance. So I hope I'm not cutting you short here, but I'm mindful of the time, and the time, both recognizing the importance of this topic, but also the time we've spent on it. And what I'm also mindful of the fact that this letter, this draft, has been sitting around for some time. So I think I need to encourage you to work with me and to get this before the council and polished up and finalised this letter to the board. It's a little shame that we haven't got it to the board before their meetings this week, I think, which would have been optimal. But nevertheless, I think we need to polish this up, make sure it's on the agenda. I think we're going to have to rely on you on an ongoing basis, and Yoav and others who've got both an active interest and knowledge, as I said, of this, to keep us honest in keeping track of issues like you've just highlighted, that is to say, making sure that if there are professionals working on this, that the work is done in the way that we might expect, and so on. Is there anything else, Ching, that you'd like to cover now? Because I think we've spent some time on it, and like I said, I'd like to polish up and finalise this letter, get the council's support for it. Are there any other councils would like to comment, or Ching, is there anything you'd like to close on this?
I think, Jonathan, I just like one quick point is that I really actually thanked you and also the staff to spend a relatively longer time on discussion or addressing the IDN issues. I know I kind of expressed my concern during the Beijing meeting about kind of the lack of interest from the at the council or from other members in the communities towards this more technical oriented questions. But I would hope that by adding more time on, for example, this time item 6 and number, and also this item, we can help to arise some interest, not only for contractual parties, but also from the user perspective. This is something important that we as a council should look into. And thanks again.
Yeah, thanks, Ching, and I think that point was well made in Beijing and underlined here. Steve, I see you wanting to come in.
Yeah, thank you, Jonathan. I think Ching mentioned this is a very important issue, and as a staff...
Steve, please speak closer to the microphone. It's difficult to hear you.
Yes, as a policy staff, we're happy to take up this request for regular updates and coordinate that internally. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. We appreciate that. And it's something where it is technical, it is complicated, but Ching's point is well made, that this has both an end-user impact as well as an impact on the whole program in for a variety of reasons. I think we're going to have to bring the topic to a close and move on. But Ching, as I said, I'd like to emphasize that we need to get this letter polished up and organized and in shape to send to the board. Don't hesitate to push me and seek info on a draft from the council as a whole, and then we'll get this. I'll give you my commitment to work with you on getting this sorted out. All right. The next item on our agenda is an update and seeking some councillor input on the agenda for Durban. We had some discussion in our wrap-up session in Beijing about elements of the format and content of the presentations, format of our meeting and content of the presentations went into that. I know Wolf Ulrich has taken some of that on board already in the thinking, so I think this is an area we'd like to take a little bit more input as we start to shape up the discussion. And actually, there has also been a request that you'll be aware of for carving out some of our time, which has become somewhat traditional of the weekend sessions, for carving out some of that weekend session time for activity in the groups and for the council to curb its meeting time to some extent. And so let me leave it over to you, Wolf Ulrich, to provide us with an update and hear some discussion on how we might shape and form the meeting in Durban. Thanks.
Thanks, Jonathan. Well, I have provided to you this morning European time, a short list of items which came to my mind. I put together as a first draft a set of items for the Durban meeting. When I started, I started immediately after the Beijing meeting and sent out a request to the leaders of the stakeholder groups and constituencies, and also of the working groups, and asking for any input with regard to the format and to the content of the GNSO meeting and the council meeting in Durban. However, I got two replies for that, but not content related, just format related. One was replied was referring to what we have discussed already in the wrap-up meeting with regards to the presentations to be given during the GNSO meetings, that they should not to consume too much time for the presentation itself, rather than to give more room for the discussion and to go more to the substance rather than to the to the general input. And then the other request was mentioning was a request from the CSG with regards to giving some space during the weekend meeting to the stakeholder groups or constituencies to convene themselves without interleaving or overlapping with the GNSO, the general GNSO meetings. So these are the two replies I got. I didn't get any reply with regards to a request for a specific content of the meetings. So what I put together in the list is then something which you know from the formal list. You can see topics which you have already had in informal meetings, but which come again and again, and they have to be filled up with content. And I categorize, I try to categorize a little bit four categories. In general, cross-community items, working groups-related items, and then add-on-specific items related. So that is where I am at the time being, with the preparation of the agenda of the Durban meeting. And the plan is then, just to discuss it right today and give some time to you and your related stakeholder groups to react on that, coming back and then draft it as it used to be in the past and also format it in a time schedule. I think that's so far from me. Jonathan, are you going to lead the discussion about this question of the CSG then?
Yeah, well, thanks very much. I think 2 points. I mean, I see there's a comment from Maria on the chat saying that David Cage needs to get back into the Adobe room. I know some might have had a little problem hearing you, Wolf, so if you do come back in, if you could just speak a little closer to the mic or a little more loudly, that would be great. So really, I think there's two areas that even if we don't finalize it now, but certainly it would be very useful to get input on the format and content of the meetings. We've discussed separately a little with John Berard's input, the work we're doing to try and improve and develop the CCNSO work. There's our meetings with the board and the GAC, potentially. There's the other format. And in particular, there's this request from the CSG to what we started to think about was if we are to change the shape of the weekend sessions and create this space for the CSG that they requested, it seems to make sense to put it either at the beginning or the end of the Sunday sessions. And I think in a prior discussion that we had, Wolf, it started to look like later on the Sunday. Perhaps first thing on the Sunday morning? I need to be reminded on that. But anyway, let's stick to the principle for a moment and hear if there's any input or comment on whether we think we can compress the sessions and work within a slightly reduced time frame in order to accommodate this request. Any comments or input on either the sort of sketch agenda so far? I like the way you've separated out into the different themes. Wolf Ulrich, any other comments or input from the council, please? I'm thinking in particular in terms of the request from the CSG. I think this is somewhat urgent in that they were keen to hear back from us. I'm just looking at when the request was. I think there was a desire to hear back relatively soon. So I'd very much appreciate any input on whether or not this is something we feel strongly positive, negative, or neutral about. John Berard.
Thank you, Jonathan. I'll just restate what I indicated in my initial email on this matter with a bit of a further explanation. I'm in support of carving out that 2.5 hours on the weekend session, particularly because there is so much for the constituencies to chew on and digest, and I don't think that waiting until Tuesday really gives constituencies, certainly my personal perspective from the constituency, quite enough time to it's not just the time, but it's also the timeliness to get agreement so that discussions can be had and decisions made. So I would support the carving out constituency time on Sunday.
Thanks, John. Is there anyone else who's got a view strongly for, against, or neutral on this this particular request? One of the things we talked about in some preparatory sessions for today's call was certainly a consideration of the fact that we have some, from a council point of view, critical meetings with the board and the GAC that we need to be mindful of their schedules. And so I think what I'm, in the absence of dissent, what I'm hearing is potentially, let me hear, I see Maria's hands covered. Let me hear from you, Maria, before I try and capture where I think this might go. Maria.
Thanks, Jonathan. Sorry, I was actually just going to briefly say that the NCSG has discussed this, and we think it's a pretty good idea, so we support the proposal.
That's helpful. Thanks, Maria. That's good to know. The question then for us will be when I see Alan in the chat has suggested something on Saturday, but the request is actually for time on Sunday. I think that some of the prior discussion I had with the vice chairs and so on was that's not necessarily a problem, providing it doesn't impact on other critical meetings. So I think that currently what it's likely to be is that we should look at carving out time early on a Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. But we're doing a little bit of juggling to try and hear back from others as to, from the GAC and the board in particular, if we can nail down that. So I think my sense is that I'm not hearing any opposition. I've heard some support. So I think we should go ahead and aim to facilitate this, conditional on the council being able to get done its critical work. Are there any other comments on the agenda as it's shaping up? I'd really encourage councillors either now or on list to be as proactive as possible in contributing to this, because the job, it's incumbent on us to produce productive and effective working meetings. The face-to-face meetings are the most valuable time we can spend together, and so it would be great to hear any input, whether it's on list in the near future, to make Wolf Ulrich's job as simple as possible. I think, Maria, your hand is up from previously. If not, so I see that's gone down. I've got Wolf Ulrich and then Joy Lidicott, and then we'll bring this section to a close. Fire ahead, fire away, Wolf, and then Joy.
Thanks, Jonathan. Yes, just to repeat, well, with regards to the content of the items, so, you know, the most critical sessions to organize are the ones with the GAC and with the board and maybe with Fadi as well, because normally at least the GAC, if you approach them, you know, and then they every time they ping back and ask, you know, well, what is it about? What are the issues you would like to talk about? And then it goes back and takes time to them, well, and coming back with an answer. So it's not that easy that we just fix it, because we used to have a meeting with the GAC before. So it's every time the same, you know, asking for the content. So what I'm asking you, therefore, is and ourselves is, well, to come up as early as possible with items, with ideas, what should be discussed. I understand as we approach, come closer to Durban, to the Durban meeting, the items will be more clear, because each each committee is dealing with those things, and then it comes out what is really the issue and what should be discussed. But it cannot be, let me say, cannot start just 3 or 4 weeks before the Durban meeting to try to get it fixed. We should start early. Thank you.
Yeah, agreed. Thanks, Wolf Ulrich. And I'm very mindful of the fact that I'd like us as a council to enter into those discussions in a positive, sort of proactive, forward-looking way, so that the extent that we can prepare in the way for those, all the better. Joy. And then John.
Thanks, Jonathan. I just wanted to reflect on the meeting with the GAC that we had at the last at Beijing, and it did occur to me that I had some discussions with other councillors sort of after it by way of debrief. It did occur to me that continuing to while it's useful to remind the GAC members of the ways in which they can be involved in policy processes and policy development, shaping and making, I'm really not convinced that continuing to rehearse that with them is the best strategic use of our very limited time with them. And I would really encourage us to think about having specific, topics or issues that we want to discuss with them, or that they might want to discuss with us, that are substantive, that we can exchange views on, and that it might be useful to be thinking about that and discussing that with the members via the chair, Jonathan, between now and Durban. And also I was wondering about the follow-up on the idea of reverse liaisons and so on. I just wanted to flag that that's something that I've been mulling over and would appreciate feedback from other councillors about.
Thanks, Joy. I appreciate that input, and it's actually something, and I'd very much appreciate being nudged on this. I'll be honest with you, there's various dialogues go on at various levels at various times, but I haven't had follow-up with the GAC post-Beijing, so although I have spoken with BGRC, with Bill Graham, and talked to him about getting the information that Marika kindly prepared in terms of the interaction points. But I agree with you, we need to, although that was perhaps useful to reset the position in terms of the prospective interaction, hearing that the GAC was concerned about how they might interact with the policy development process, I think we do need to move on, and I'd appreciate your and others' help, and I will work as well to try and develop that further. So thanks for that. It's a fair and good point. We're coming up towards the top of the hour now, so I think we need to wrap that up. But please keep this alive on the email list. It's something which is important to make sure we. I'm very mindful, as I'm sure all of you are, and I've heard now, that in terms of making the best out of our face-to-face meetings. So whilst we continue with the existing work, this is also something to keep an eye on for the future. Under item 9, then, any other business, we have a couple of items flagged before I just check if there's anything else. One is there was an update to the dates for the council meetings. I think we're taking that as read. They were really changed to reflect the actual dates that settled for the final meeting of the year, the Buenos Aires meeting. In addition, as you may recall, we have done some work based really coming out of my feelings from, I think, Toronto, but also looking further from our meeting that we had, planning meeting with policy staff in January, thinking that when the council changes, it is very useful to have, which it will do in Buenos Aires, when councillors step off and new councillors come on, it will be very useful to induct the new councillors and to bring them together as a group, bring the council together as a group. So we are preparing for, and I'd very much like to ask you to diarise an additional day, the Friday. And I know all of us are tired. There is no easy option here for an extra day. We talked about and considered actually bringing the council together physically
separately, but really the most practical solution is to try and tack it onto the meeting. So that's where the dust is settled in terms of the plan for an additional day in Buenos Aires. So if I could ask you all to, assuming you especially if you plan to be on the council after that the change that takes place at the council meeting on the Wednesday of the Buenos Aires meeting, to prepare a date in your diary to stick around for Friday, and we'll attempt to make it as productive, interesting and interactive a session as possible to induct the new councillors and bring together the whole new council at that time. Any comments or questions or any other business that anyone would like to raise at this point? Either comments or questions on 9-1 or 9-2 or any other points? Hearing none, I'll hope that is then diarized for all of you on that Friday. Let's pick up on a couple of these key points and on an active action list in the meantime. Thank you, everyone. We've come in just on time. The IDN issue is alive and well, and we need to keep active on that and clearly the other topics we've dealt with today. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your participation, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the email list and at the next meeting in approximately 1 month's time.
Thank you, Jonathan. Goodbye.
Thanks. Goodbye.